wondering how we're going to start. Are you ready? This day is dedicated to sitting meditation, walking meditation, standing meditation in the context of the insight meditation tradition. And some of you are very, very familiar with that, and some of you are probably very new, and I'll find out who you are and we can meet a little bit and clarify a few things. But I'm curious why you're here, not just the beginners, but the old-timers or the middle-length people. Why are you here? Why have you dedicated today to be in silence and cultivate your own heart-mind? And I ask you to take this question on, not because there's going to be answers that aren't acceptable, but because to reflect on this at the beginning is to know where your heart is. What do you care about? Why are you giving this energy today? What is it that your heart is drawn to, that you want, with regard to the human predicament of having a heart mind, a sensitive, thinking, feeling, sensitized predicament of being human? To know what motivates you to be here is to help line us up, because as you all know, the heart mind, as marvelous as it is a slippery fish. And it can be a marvelous thing. In fact, the Buddha speaks about the liberation of the heart-mind. That's what the teachings are pointing to. With a heart-mind, and I use those two words because in the language of the teaching, the word citta is not just your head center or your heart center, it's the whole sensitivity, the whole sensitive organism that receives input, that sometimes can be very, very, very open and spacious. Sometimes our heart mind can be so contracted and tight, like a little tiny lump of concrete. Sometimes it's dull, sometimes it's sleepy, sometimes it's bright, sometimes it's loving, sometimes it's numb, utterly numb. Sometimes any condition can show up in this heart mind. And the teachings are pointing to the freedom of this heart-mind. That we understand the nature of reality, of the way things are, so that this heart-mind is not having to lean on something for rest. And I'll unpack a little bit more what the Buddha means by that. But freedom is really where the citta is not leaning on anything. What do we lean on? We lean on our thoughts. Anyone ever leaned on their thoughts? Meaning a place for refuge, a place to say, yeah, this is it, I know who I am, and we take hold of our thoughts and, yeah, I know where I can rest here. Or our feelings, right? A mood. I feel like there's a mood arising regularly that might be sadness, rage, grief, love, joy, could be many, many, many things, but I take hold of it in such a way that I try and make that home. I try and say, yeah, that's it, that's who I am. Our thoughts, our feelings, our mind state, people, we lean on people. And the Buddha said, he didn't say you should never do that, he said, on the path, lean on skillful people. Lean on people that will help you see deeper. Until such a point where the leaning can be relinquished and there's freedom. So I'm plugging us in somehow right into the deep end, right at the beginning. That's what the Buddha's pointing to. And all the practices and techniques and skillful means are in the service of this freedom. And somewhere, all of us want peace, right? We want that rest, that where the heart and mind, or me, whatever we call it, can rest finally and not be pulled around and pushed around by the contents of our mind, the feelings that arise, the other people with their thoughts and feelings. That there's something where the heart can be released. So everything we do today is in the service of that. And the spiritual path is not for the faint-hearted. It's a profound undertaking. So when I ask you the question, what brings you here? Please find out where your personal thread is in all of that that I've just said. Right? So rather than taking on that as, okay, now I'm supposed to want to be liberated, feel out what is it that calls you? Is it the wish for silence? Is it the wish for refuge? For release? Is it you just want to cultivate some calm? Is it about being with others? Is it to keep you out of mischief? That's a valid reason to come to practice. You know, when we're not guarding our mind, we can end up in all kinds of holes, can't we? Right? Is it because you love the Dharma? And for those of you who have new Dharma, is the teachings of the way things are. Is it because you love that? You love going deeper? Is it because you have a commitment to yourself? Yeah, I do this regularly and I'm... Is it because you're curious? Is it because you're suffering right now? And the Buddha is very clear that understanding the dis-ease of the heart-mind and knowing how to handle that is the way to freedom from suffering. So just take a moment. What's the personal part for you? We'll have teachings, we'll have the framework and the scaffold of the Buddha's map, but where are you in that? Or not where are you in his map, but where are you in you? The map is the support. What brings you here? Because that will help line you up during the day when the mind gets distracted, when the mind gets restless, when the mind gets bored, when the mind gets, come on, get to the good bit. When the mind is waiting for a better moment, we can remember, oh yeah, something I really want to cultivate today. Yeah, I want to be close to myself, or whatever it is. And just seeing, is anybody willing to, to articulate just a couple of words of what brings you here, so we just start to hold that together before we go into the formal practices. Sometimes having our Sangha, the other beings, practicing, witnessing our intention is powerful. It helps us remember also. So anybody willing, what brings you here today on any level? All welcome.
Realignment of heart and mind.
Realignment, yes, it's a nice word. We get off kilter, don't we? One of my teachers used to say, sometimes it's like being a Picasso painting, sometimes, you know, with the head going that way, and the heart's over there, and the arms over there. It's like, yes, something about the grounding, the centering, and the head, and the heart, and the body come into some kind of presence alignment. Helps us see more clearly. Yeah. What else? What brings you here?
Silent connection with my spirit.
Right. Right. The silence is a way that supports you to connect with spirit.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, let's just take a moment to tune to the silence together. Listening. The whole of you. Ears. Your heart, even if your heart feels like concrete, still welcome. This organ of perception that we are, listening into the silence. Breathing right now with the silence. Men and women in all cultures, and traditions have. Sometimes it's, you know, a rarer few, but it's a condition that is very known in our human heart and mind, the silence, to support us to align, to attune, and to go deep. Yeah, anything else that brings you here?
Stillness.
Mm-hmm. You like it? Right. Stillness. And when you say it, do you have the sense of outer stillness, inner stillness? What comes?
Inner stillness. Like finding a still point in a tiny world. Not that I have it. Just
well, although I think maybe you know you do, there's something we recognize about stillness and we kind of instinctively love on some level. Even if when we get a little still, we might find our mind going away from it, there's something about stillness that we do have, actually. It's closer to us than all of the mayhem, actually. It's something more fundamental than the proliferation and the busyness, actually. So, yeah, trust that one thing, yeah.
I love the idea of equanimity, and I find that so important because I find myself continually drawn towards different sorts of anger.
Different sorts of anger?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Does it feel like an ideal at this point, the equanimity?
A little more than an ideal.
It's more, there's some sense of it.
An ideal that sort of it's from time to time achieved briefly.
Seeping in, it's showing up. Yeah, recognizing the quality of equanimity, that sometimes translated as the quality like the mountain, right? Equally, also translated as equally close to all things, right? Has a quality of balance. We're not pulled by this thing and pushing that thing. It has a poise and a balance to it, where we're not blown around. It's a very interesting quality, equanimity. So easily confused with indifference, apathy. But it still has the heart, to have a heart that's cool, but open. Yeah, it's quite a profound quality. Any last ones before?
Community.
Community.
Sangha.
Well,
yeah.
Anything about us?
A common purpose, I suppose.
Okay.
So supportive.
So the support, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some way that, even if we have different articulations, there's some way, if you're willing to sit with your own heart mind for a day, there's a real support for each other, and that gives a real support. As we say sometimes, that God have, for many, not everybody, but for many, they wouldn't actually last the course if there was nobody else there. There's something about having other people around us that kind of, oh yeah, I've had enough now, my mind's kicking up, my body's hurting, okay, that's right. Because that call to freedom isn't necessarily what calls the loudest in our mind. I think it can, as we go along the path, but often the other things in the mind are calling stronger, aren't they? And that's what we're learning to discriminate and listen in deeper. So the support of each other is huge, yeah. The third jewel, it's precious. Okay, so let's... is anything else want to be said before we... anything else want to be articulated?
Just a place to practice letting go, giving myself the space to come back to letting go, because out there it's really difficult to do. And it's just... coming back and returning and remembering and going, oh, right,
that's it. That's what I'm aligning myself to. You couldn't see Wendy's gesture, but she said, a place to come back and let go, and she had this kind of shedding gesture, like shedding old things that have accumulated, which is a large part of the path. It's the centering ground and getting it. It's like, aha, you're here. And as we're here, we can shed and shed and let go. Okay, so let's stand a little bit, move our body, and then I'll guide us into sitting. let the knees be soft and let's bounce a little bit. This freedom of mind, freedom of the heart mind. Let the breath move a little bit in the body. Is not achieved by tightening our body. Our body is part of the path, and some of us are ambivalent about that. But it is! So let's loosen up the body a little bit. Let the breath. Because in our move to alignment, many of us have to drop a little bit, because we're often aligned up in the frontal cortex, trying to find a refuge up there, lean up there, right? But we need the whole of us. So shaking the hands, might warm up a little bit. Cheryl's a little taller, so you can see. Shaking the hands really like they're rubber gloves. And then using the palms to tap the backside. Maligned in spiritual circles, but absolutely necessary for skillful handling. It has a lot of energy potentially, and we need that for waking up. So gently take care and also include. And then fingertips with the chest, and making a little sound to have the like the beginning of the orchestra, we're tuning up. this whole instrument we need for our waking up. Wherever in your chest, sometimes under the armpits is nice. Just a little space under there. Often many of us tighten the sense of self around this. Waking up here, feel what feels good for your body from the inside. Might be more rigorous, might be gentle. And then down the opposite arm. Inside. And as we do this, just tune in to your mind. Any reaction in the mind, like, oh, let's get on with the real bit, or you don't wake up by tapping your armpit, or, oh goody, we don't have to sit still for too long, or, then if you might need something to balance on. I certainly won't do it up here, but balancing on one leg, kicking out the foot a little bit. So from the hip, if you need something to hold on to, you might not have something if you're in the middle. Kicking the foot, shaking the leg and the other leg. Okay. Standing for a second. And in breath, arms up. Holding the breath, and we're going to make a sound from the belly as you let the breath out with a ha. Okay, breathing in. Ha. And last one. So whatever sound to get your belly on board. Ha. So having as a support, when the Buddha, when we're moving in practice, to understand what it is not to lean on anything, as a refuge, so that we know the totality and know ourselves. As one teacher said, love tells me I'm everything and wisdom tells me I'm nothing. And between these two, my life flows. As we wake up more and more to that, we use skillful things to lean on. And one of them is the precepts, the ethics. So please, in the course of the day, if you know the ethical guidelines, they're a support and a foundation for the mind, actually. Don't take things that aren't offered. Don't harm any living beings while you're here. No drugs, alcohol, anything that clouds the mind, intoxicants. Refraining for practice day from sexual activity. And the one about speech. Yeah, for the purposes of the day, silence. The precept around sex and the silence is actually, in lay life, is care around those things. It's not abstinence, but it's care around speech, care around sexuality. So leaning into them where the community is supported to breathe out. If we know we're not going to be hurt, or at least we can start to trust into that a little bit, we can breathe out more easily, right? Alright, yeah. Whatever's happened in my life so far, the intention of everyone here is to not hurt me. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And then we can breathe out a little bit more. So let's take a meditative seat. You can continue standing if you prefer, and I'll guide us in. So fine to have water in here. What I would say is during the formal practice periods, please don't drink. They won't be more than half an hour of formal practice at a time. Just wait till the end to drink, or right before. And that's just a way of supporting the stillness in the room, and also the mind, you know. If you've come here, you must know a little bit about your mind, at least, of seeing how it works, isn't it? Often just wanting something else to do, right, other than this. And one of those things, the most exciting option here might be to drink some water. It's like, oh, that will do it, that will take my mind away from being here. And there's a small renunciation for us, just to support. Really, what that does, it's not about condemning any of that. It's like giving ourselves the chance to go, I'm not obliged to follow all the movements of my body. Luckily, imagine if we followed all the movements of our mind. I mean, obviously I'm speaking about my mind here, but I've looked long enough at my mind. We followed all the movements of our mind, which in a sense is when the mind isn't well, that's some of what we do, right? Follow some of the movements of the mind. And here we're learning health in that regard. Okay, so take a seat. Posture that is upright and gentle, and I'll guide us to set up the posture. So start with the belly, and the seat. Letting the flesh of your buttocks find its way to soften a little bit. Right, we can't do that as an act of will, but we can widen the attention. We can welcome the backside as if we're bowing to it, saying, sit here, my dear. You are welcome. We set up and treat ourselves as the beloved guest of this particular meeting. Right, so softening around the backside. Breathing. And whatever has happened in our life, or whatever things we find hard to accept about ourselves, you are welcome. Treating yourself as the honored guest. Not having to get more worthy yet to take your seat, but your willingness to sit here is the price of entry. So letting yourself fully, firmly, clearly take your seat. Drop to the earth. Not having to be someone better. Or someone different. But welcoming this being. And breathing with this being. And one more breath, and as you feel the out-breath, see how it can drop you a little further into your seat. Can you see that? Follow one right to its end as you breathe in. And as you breathe out, if you let it, it will show you the way to land, to release. Letting the arms be soft, a little space under your armpits. I'll guide you into a mindfulness of breathing practice. We're going to start with mindfulness of listening. Imagining that this body sitting here, these hips, these buttocks, this belly, the legs, the torso, the arms and the head, the whole thing is a sensitive organ of perception that can hear, register, is sensitive to silence and sound. There's nothing you have to do about it, just let yourself breathe normally. So if you can really hear the silence, and if anyone can't hear me at any point in the day, raise your hand and let me know. So, okay, thank you. So breathing just with this possibility of hearing. And hearing doesn't mean you have to have good ears. It's a metaphor also. For a sensitivity. And breathing, letting your body breathe just as it breathes, giving it room, welcoming this animal breathing body that we are, that we have. It breathes in, and you know that it breathes in. It breathes out, and you know that it breathes out. And just in the way you would tune an old-fashioned radio to the right station to find the right frequency, taking your time to find the kind of attention that it takes to know this living organism as it breathes, tuning to the breathing channel, an attention that is applied. We apply it again and again and again because it gets lost and scattered and all of that. We apply attention in a clear, relaxed way. And then we linger a little bit with the breath. Hang around, stay with it, follow it. Let it be a guide, something skillful to lean on. In amidst all of the various proliferations that the mind can come up with. So let's practice in this way together. Awareness open to body, wide, welcoming. Listening deeply. And then letting the breath, the breathing animal, be known. Steady. Kind. Just one breath at a time. Giving your body room to breathe. Let this organism breathe. Thank you. If you notice your head's trying to figure it out or it's busy with something else, breathe out, let the shoulders drop, do it deliberately. Come back to this animal presence, this human animal, physical, bodily, here. Your body isn't trying to figure something out. Come to the body breathing. Ordinary, unglamorous, but it steadies the mind, calms the mind, also uplifts the mind. So when you notice you're caught and lost spinning in your head, breathe out. Drop the shoulders. Do it deliberately. We're not going to assess how many times you've breathed out. It's good news if you do. The more moments you see that, the more we begin again. Dropping the shoulders. Let the elbows soften. I am here. I'm not there. notice that you're busy, respond to that. Breathe out. Let the shoulders drop. See, this out-breath plonks you firmly here. Again and again and again. Are you willing to have the breath bring you to your seat? May all beings breathe out and rest on the earth. May all beings treat themselves with a gentle heart. May all beings meet themselves with an upright mind.